May the words of my lips and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I first had a kind of an inkling, a sense that I should go into the ministry whilst I was at university. So I used opportunities there to talk to clergy, ministers and what have you for different traditions of, well, what's it like? What do you do? What are the challenges and the stresses and the hang-ups? I met one minister whose church was in a part of rural Wales where Calvinism was very, very strong. It's a particular view about Christianity and of doctrine. And he said he was constantly meeting people in his pastoral visits where he'd go around the farms and the small communities and just knock on doors and introduce himself and have a chat. He would take the attitude that, you know, they live such holy lives, cut off from any sinners, that they hadn't sinned for weeks. And he said, after a while, he could feel a growing resentment and anger building in him. He said it came to a head when he knocked on a particular door and he got in a conversation with this gentleman. And this gentleman basically slated his kind of church. You're doing it all wrong, believing all the wrong things. And he said, you know, in my church, we just keep away from any sinners. Just keep away from anything worldly. We keep away from anything that isn't holy. I haven't sinned for 3 months. At which, on what I can think is only an automated response, this young minister punched him in the stomach. He doubled over, stood back upright, and swore his head off. He said, well, that's an end of that then, isn't it? What does Christianity say about anger? Maybe you've grown up in a kind of household or maybe a church where there's that kind of background belief, probably never expressed, but it's there, that anger is always wrong and must never be shown. Christians must always be nice. Jesus said in many ways and at many different times about his command that we love one another. But to the best of my knowledge, he never used the word nice. Of course, to some extent, that's right. Anger is scary and powerful. It can damage relationships, sometimes, sadly, beyond repair. And people who are nice are much easier to get on with, much easier to love than people who aren't nice. But constant niceness can lead to a very bland, very insipid Christianity. And if it's not careful, it can tend towards hypocrisy, because at heart it lacks honesty. Jesus abhorred hypocrisy. I don't remember him saying much about anger. Hypocrisy is wrong because it's pretense. We pretend to be something or to feel something on the outside which we don't actually feel on the inside. Yes, I know we all need to do that at times. We can't be totally open with everyone. Jesus was very aware that militates against God. It blocks God from dwelling closely with each one of us, from reaching us in our inner being. God with us, the gift to all Christian people, acts upon the person we are right now. Not on the person we think we are or the person we'd like to be. And if we're unable to acknowledge the person we really are deep inside, then it can be very difficult for God to reach in and work with us. Because it's as though we've built a solid wall around the real me. The more of a mask we wear to the outside world, the more often we wear it, the more difficult it is for us to be aware of what we're really like deep down inside. But to be real, to be genuinely the same on the outside as we are on the inside, that requires considerable risk. And I accept it's not a risk we can show everywhere and at all times. We have to risk that if we're honest enough to show our true feelings, that we won't necessarily be rejected by everyone. We also have to risk that we won't be rejected by God when God sees us as we really are. But of course, God knows already what we're really like and doesn't reject us. But sometimes we'd like to kid ourselves that God hears and sees only what we want God to hear and see. Maybe God only sees us when we're in church on a Sunday morning, or when we've got our holy hat on, when we open our Bible, instead of what we're like all those other times and all those other interactions in which we partake. When we think to ourselves, if only you knew me as I know me, you wouldn't really like me. God replies, I do know you as you know you. And I know you even better. And I love you. And what's more, I like you. One of my favourite theologians, he wouldn't claim to be a theologian at all, but he's a really good one, is the Christian writer Adrian Plass. And he's described his Christian journey and the cost and pain of conformity to a Christianized ideal of what he just couldn't measure up to. Partly because in reality it was anything but Christian. And it was only after much torment and what amounted to a breakdown that he discovered this freeing truth. And it's the best bit of theology ever written, I would say. God is nice and he likes me. He's not that ogre overshadowing you, just waiting for you to go wrong so he can pounce and point the finger and make you feel small and nothing. The reason sin angers God is because it prevents us from truly being close friends with God. It acts as a block in the way, a stumbling block, and it needs to be cleared and got rid of. I think that allowing yourself to show anger requires huge courage, if you've been brought up to believe that anger is wrong. I don't mean that sort of explosion over which we have no control, because things like that can just happen. But allowing an angry reaction to be seen. For many Christians, an angry reaction is just too risky. We fear we'll be rejected, and therefore it's swallowed and hidden as we smile and nod and mouth agreeable words. Another problem with that is that by denying expression of our true feelings, we can end up creating a kind of internal pressure cooker where the pressure increases and increases until eventually there's an uncontrolled explosion with more damage done than needs be. We'd let out that little bit of anger, that little bit of pressure earlier on. In today's reading from the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. How many of us, I wonder, when we're angry inside, pretend we're not on the outside? And when we do, that anger usually lingers on. It's hard to deal with it and get rid of it. The sun often goes down on that sort of anger. So how can we be angry but not leave room for the devil? Not allow our anger to develop in a way that causes harm to us and to others and pulls people away from God. Perhaps the answer is to allow ourselves to show a little anger when we feel it. It could be a quiet response to a clear disagreement. As soon as we feel we've said what needs to be said, that we've been heard, that anger can usually dissipate quite easily. It can allow us then to have a better, a richer, a more informed conversation and to actually sort out our differences rather than simply agreeing to disagree. But anger which is expressed as accusation or verbal abuse or a terrifying outburst usually frightens the other person so much it puts up the walls. It closes any possibility to any reasonable conversation and relationships can deteriorate. When we find ourselves in that situation, as Paul addresses later in this passage, he says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, and put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Anger which is expressed wrongly, or anger which is repressed and explodes later, leads to evil talk and bitterness and wrath and wrangling and slander and malice and all the rest, as Paul wrote. And they're not ways in which God's people should behave. But we can only be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving, if we have the courage to be real and honest and allow an expression in an unthreatening way of what we really feel inside. And as we learn to do that, and it's not easy, and we will get it wrong, as we begin to practice it more commonly, then we gradually, slowly become imitators of God, beloved children who live in love and community, just as Christ first loved us and gave himself up for us, taking on himself all the anger of the world. And living like that, well, that is a beautiful offering to God. Amen.